Not even the bombs of war can drown out poetry's internal music. The African nation of Liberia endured 14 years of civil war in the 1980s, and a young university professor had to flee the country with her husband and small children under bombardment and gunfire. The much-honored Liberian poet and teacher Patricia Jabe-Wesley visited Indiana University in October to meet with students and give a public reading. In her conversation with producer Shane Lauder, Wesley recounted the journey from her first discovery of storytelling magic to her use of poetry as a medicine for souls torn apart by war.
Liberia is unique among African nations in that it was settled and developed not by European powers, but by freed slaves from America and the Caribbean. The Euro-American culture the freed people brought with them did not help relations with the indigenous tribes already living there, like the Gbo people. Patricia Jabe-Wesley grew up between those two sides of Liberia. She was born in the capital city, Monrovia, and was raised speaking the country's official language, English.
As a child, I would play with poetry because my father helped me learn and enjoy reading British poetry and American poetry because of his old textbook from long ago, college.
Even as a child, she quickly became a prolific writer in English.
I am a long storyteller. My stories don't end. So I thought I was a story writer. So I would play with the two genres, and I had a good bit of poems in files and short stories in files and unfinished novels, you know, from childhood.
But her family was Gbo, and they wanted her to know that culture as they did.
I spent 3 years. My father sent me to my home county and town on a boarding school because he wanted me to learn my language, which has enriched my poetry, or else I wouldn't have that experience of my culture, you know.
The tribal experience out on family plantations had its effect on her writing.
Sometimes I may even include in words that are Gbo, and because they are not translatable in my understanding, they are not words, they lose their meaning when they are translated. Like when I'm talking about my grandmother, who was very close, I was very close to, we call her Ayi, and Ayi also means a great old lady. The mother of the town, the mother next door, any grandmother. And when I'm talking about her, I never say my grandmother. I say Ayi, because it's more affectionate to say Ayi. Grandmother means grandmother. It means the mother of your mother or the mother of your father. But Ayi means more than that. And so sometimes I will use that word to imply more metaphorically than implied in English.
The mix of tribal language and modern English creates, for her, a uniquely African expression.
My language influences everything I do. I often think in African context, in the African syntax of arrangement of words when I write, especially when I'm writing poetry about an experience that is intricately unique to the African experience, and I'm exploring the African motifs and the culture. Then I write in that arrangement of language, even though it's English, and you can tell that it's different from an American poet's arrangement of language.
So different that a native English reader may have trouble distinguishing between art and life.
Yesterday I read an email from an African writing friend, and the way she was writing, if you read it, you would think it's poetry, but it's just African. She's Kenyan, and she's saying things like, "My sister, how is life with you these days? I will say, my sister, that this sister of yours is doing well." And that's the way Africans talk in their language. And so when you read it, you say, yes, she's African. Then she's speaking English, she's writing English, but she's thinking in her language. Sometimes people think I'm a great writer because of that, but what they don't know is that if they spoke to any African old lady, they would think they are great writers too.
Patricia hears unique music in English too, whoever is talking.
People, especially writers, should learn to appreciate the beauty of the language that they want to use to explore their experience. Because even just speaking English is beautiful, but you should appreciate the beauty of other ways of using English, other Englishes, you know?
In the late 1970s, Patricia Jabba-Wesley got her bachelor's degree in English literature at the University of Liberia. Soon after that, she came to Indiana University for a master's in English education and returned to Monrovia, the Liberian capital, to start a family and teach at the university. But factional tensions in Liberia, never really pacified, soon exploded into civil war.
In 1989, my husband and family and I were caught up in the Liberian Civil War, and we had to flee under gunfire. We and were forced to live in a refugee displaced center outside of the capital.
But that didn't stop her drive to write constantly.
My hobby of writing is always impulsive. I write, you know, all the time. So I found out that writing prose was difficult under gunfire. And so I would write jerky poems and, you know, bombs falling and woman, you know, slash, you know. So I would write these short poems under stress. I needed poetry as a release for my fear and of losing myself and my family, you know. So I found out that you cannot run writing prose. You can be on a run writing poetry.
Run she did. Write she did, no matter what.
I remember one time we're in the camp and a bunch of people were trying to crowd our building because of bombings by the peacekeepers. We're trying to retake the city and the country from the rebels. And we were in a rebel-held territory. These people came in after their building exploded and they were all dusty, some wounded. And I just ran under the bunk I was sleeping on and crowded my children behind me. And I was writing a poem. You know, why people were screaming. And I remember a refugee screaming at me and calling me crazy. And he said, "You woman, stop writing. People are dying, stop writing. Are you crazy?" And I'm like, I need to write this poem.
In the stress of war, Patricia's commitment to poetry showed her its unique power.
I also found out during that time that poetry expresses pain differently than fiction. In fiction, you have to describe extensively, and it is very difficult to explore pain and blood and rape of little girls by rebels and soldiers alike. So it was easier to disguise the pain through metaphor and simile, and that poetry so profoundly uses, and that's how I turned to poetry.
What you're saying explains the profound way I was moved, because there is so much in what is not said in a poem.
Yes.
The poem about a mother looking for her sons.
Yes.
Just asking certain questions, and it's just her questions, looking for her sons, looking for her sons.
Yeah, in that poem, I think you're searching for my family. It's in the first collection. Yeah, that's a guy, a man.
Oh. You know,
it's an African name, so it's very difficult.
Yes.
Yeah, looking for his wife and children, yeah.
Good friend, please help me. Did you happen to see two boys when you lived in Kitaka? One dark and chubby, the other light with dark eyes. Good friend, did you see them while you lived in Ganta? One would have been 10, and the other this tall. My big boy, Naima, the small one, Doete. Good friend, can you tell me if they went to Tapeta? Were they given weapons? Did they kill?
There were numerous such people looking for their children and coming into our crowded display center and our area had at least 6,000 people.
Good friend, can you say if they walked to Bassa? Did they starve to death? Good friend, can you say if there was a mother walking by their side? Was she healthy? Was she treated well?
People came through and their children were lost or their families were lost and they were looking for them.
Oh, good friend, so this is where they took them out of line. Good friend, were they hungry when they met their end? Oh, good friend, I will follow to wrap up their bones. Thank you, good friend, but how will I know their bones?
And people are still looking for their families today, you know, and 25 years later.
The poem, Searching for My Family, may be one of Patricia's shortest poems, but she feels its language is completely African.
You can feel the music and the rhythm and the sighs that are African, and the way everything is said is different.
Patricia Wesley brought her family back to the U.S. after fleeing from the Civil War. She got her doctorate, continued teaching, and life went on. Her writing began to include essays and memoir, and she began doing workshops to use writing as a way to heal from trauma and research into Liberian women's experiences of surviving war. But Liberians at all levels of society, she discovered, preferred silence.
Is there perhaps a fear of really encountering the grief of the two wars?
I think the government is afraid that encouraging people to express themselves, to grieve, to recognize where they have been, will expose a lot of the evils that some people in government committed during the war. Many people who were the spearheaders of the war are working in government. And there is a fear of people recognizing that things did happen that need to be in the open. Even though if you read my poetry, I'm not particularly blaming. I'm writing poetry. People don't understand that. And so there is that fear. If you're not carefully looking, you may not know that there is a fear. Many Liberians prefer not to talk about it, not to remember, because it's too painful. I got to know that when I conducted interviews in three major American cities among Liberian immigrant women who are survivors of the war. I interviewed women in a refugee camp two times, two different years. I interviewed a cross-section of women across educational, social, and ethnicity. I interviewed these women and I saw a lot of hesitation.
Of the hundreds of women she interviewed, Patricia said only one in five was willing to talk about what happened to them in the Civil War.
There is that fear and that unwillingness to go to that old place. But for I have found out as a writer that going to that place is healing, it restores you. I used to do workshops on writing as a tool in healing. I've talked to a lot of women who were raped and who refused to speak about rape. Out of 150 women, only two or three were able to admit that they were raped. When I do workshops in writing as a tool in healing, I say to people, if you can put in print, you can write on a piece of paper that I was raped. If you can write it and look at it and confront that reality, that begins to heal you because you are able to put in words how painful that is. That admission is the beginning of healing. After you've written that and read that and talked about that, it heals you to the point that you realize, yes, this was war, but I can move on. I can live again. I can live for those people who did not survive. I can live well.
For Cafe Indiana, I'm Shane Lauder.
Patricia Jabba Wesley visited Indiana University in October. Her poem, Searching for My Family, was read by Will Murphy. Some of the music you heard is shared via Creative Commons license by the Sierra Leone Refugee All-Stars and bensound.com. Other selections are by Karsh Kale and Arvo Pärt.